Growing up, I loved playing computer games, but I have not found something in adulthood that scratches that same itch. Video games don't do it. I can't use that controller. It's just not it for me. But oh my goodness, I am so glad I recently started playing June's Journey. Okay, June's Journey is like I Spy meets Carmen Sandiego, meets The Sims, meets horror movies. It's so wild and it's so, so fun to play. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. June is fabulous. She has a fabulous little hat and feather in her cap. She's at this family estate on this gorgeous island that you can decorate, which you know that I love to do. And then as you're going, you go into different rooms of the house. You find clues that are going to lead to the suspicious murder of June's sister and brother-in-law. It's so dark. Like, you're looking for clues inside of a murder scene photo. But also, all I want to do is find the trophy and the riding crop and the muddy footprint that might be a clue about, wait, was there another person there? It's so intriguing. It's so fun. I love playing it. At the end of the day, just sitting on the couch, you know, that state of mind where you're not ready to go to bed yet. You don't want to be watching TV anymore. It's sort of just background noise. I want to be looking around my little island for clues. And that's why I love having June's Journey. Right now, I'm in the chapter where we are really uncovering some salacious information. There seems to have been a third person there the night of the murder. And that is not what we believed at the beginning. So, you know, I'm ready to figure out more about this mystery third person because I think it might be the key to everything. And so you better believe I'm about to dive back in, and you can do just the same. Escape reality and immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy,
and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary, Didn't Watch, bonus episode, second bonus episode for the month of November, the year 2022. Holy crap. If we are almost done with the year.
It's wild time. The scariest thing of all.
It's pretty wild. My dad is big on time being an illusion, which is true. But anytime I talk to him about being freaked out about time, he's like, time is an illusion. But you know what's not an illusion? Decay. Mm-hmm. So just saying, if time's an illusion, that doesn't really matter to me. Everything else that time does,
yes,
is real. So anyway,
true.
Scariest thing of all.
Scariest thing of all. And it's just the two of us today.
Oh, yeah.
We are missing Henley, but, you know, she'll be back.
She'll be back.
I hope. I really hope.
It would be a shock to us all if she weren't.
Yeah.
If this was her way of quietly quitting. Oh, I can't do it. Over and over and over again, she tells us this. No, she'll be back.
She'll be back. But this is, I guess, kind of like a Thanksgiving-y, if you're in the United States, a Thanksgiving-y season. I guess this will come out after Thanksgiving, but
so forget it.
I hope everybody in the U.S. had a good Thanksgiving. And what better way to celebrate what we're thankful for than talking about devastating horror films?
Oh, no. What's this one, Sammy? What is it? What is it?
We are going to be talking about I Saw the Devil.
Okay. Descriptive title.
It came out in 2010 or 2011 in the U.S., a South Korean horror film that I had been wanting to see for a long time, directed by Kim Ji-woon, written by Kim Ji-woon and Park Hunjung, starring Lee Byung-hun and Choi Min-sik. And Choi Min-sik is the main character in Old Boy.
Okay, that name is really familiar to me.
Yeah, he's pretty famous. Okay. And he's fucking great in this.
Woo!
Great in Old Boy as well. And Kim Ji-woon, the writer-director, his other movie, well, he's directed a bunch of movies, but the other one I recognized was A Tale of Two Sisters, which we've talked about covering before as well.
I get nervous when we do South Korean horror because I feel like they're good at really getting at it.
They sure are.
They go right for it.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about this film that we can talk about, well, throughout and at the end.
Sure.
Overall, it's a very good movie that has some problems.
Okay. Hey, that can happen.
I think it's going to be scary. I think you're going to be spooked.
I did tell you. I said I want to be spooked. Pick a scary one.
Yeah. And this is actually not even on IMDb categorized as horror, which is funny because it's just like,
I hate when they do that. When it's like, guys, what are you talking about? What are you talking about with that?
There are things I was also thinking about because the movie we covered this week, which will already be out, is Don't Worry, Darling, which is categorized as horror. And like just comparing that movie with this movie is going to be very funny.
Yeah.
That one of them is technically a horror film and one's not.
Oh boy.
But I Saw the Devil is available to stream on Hulu. It has a 81% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 67% on Metacritic, and a 7.8 on IMDb.
Oh shit.
Yeah, it's pretty high for IMDb.
What are we going to start trusting? Is it Metacritic? Is Metacritic the most reliable? We now think because my Rotten Tomatoes has been fucking ruined for me. I don't trust it at all anymore.
I don't know. Because someone was saying that people are probably buying reviews for things. So that would affect all of the sites. So I don't know.
God.
We can only trust ourselves is what I'm saying.
We can only trust ourselves. Oh, what a scary place to be. I need somebody to tell me if things are good or bad.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be tough.
Tell me
it's
if
be
I
tough.
Like it. Oh, no.
Truly, though, I do need that.
I really need it. I do.
So we'll have to have that be an ongoing conversation, figure out which reviewers we trust. I love a pop culture happy hour,
that's true. I do feel like they didn't like one that I really liked and it was confusing
for
me.
That does happen occasionally, yeah.
So I guess the answer is that I was wrong.
Yeah,
that's thinking
right.
I liked it.
That's right.
I didn't like it. They're right.
The budget of this movie was $6 million. It made $12.9 million.
Great.
And there are two cuts of this movie. There's the South Korean cut and the international cut. I don't know which one I watched. So if you watched a different version and you're thinking, why didn't she include that part? Maybe it's because of that.
Yeah. And I'd be curious to know what did we get?
What the differences
what was
are. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this movie is about a serial killer.
Okay.
I'll say that. And just as I was, it's categorized as, you know, like a psychological thriller type.
Sure.
Thing.
I would say pretty much across the board, if there's a serial killer, I'd call that horror.
Yeah.
That's pretty horrifying.
It's scary. It's disturbing. It's very violent. But it had me thinking about serial killers. Obviously, it's like very fascinating and there's lots of serial killer movies. And I was just looking up serial killer statistics.
You're going to say, and there's lots of serial killers.
Well, there kind of is more than I would think.
Okay, tell me. Okay, I had this thought. I can't wait to hear these stats because Joel and I watched The Patient, which I honestly don't recommend.
Yes. Okay.
After finishing it, I'm like,
Ending.
Didn't like the ending enough that I was like, I wish I hadn't been through all that. Great performances. I love those show creators, Creators of Americans. But anyway, don't recommend The Patient, but it's about a serial killer. Sorry. And in it, I was like, I turned to Joel and I was like, do you think we know anybody who's killed someone? And he was like, no, I don't think we do. But it just made me think like, you don't know.
What's crazy? I know two people that have killed someone.
Okay, we actually do know one person that has killed someone, but I meant like secret, like a serial
like
killer.
Intentionally.
Like, yeah, someone who's like.
Well, I guess one of the people I know was also intentional. Oof, that's dark.
See, I shouldn't have. And this is how I felt last time I asked this question. But it really
serial killer shows always painted as like, well, it's some, you'd never know.
They're also like, just for the listeners, they're in prison. They're not, it's not like I'm keeping this information to myself. I just want people to know that I'm not like keeping a secret.
Oh my God. No. And often, yeah. I mean, these scenarios are really quite sad. But it just makes me wonder when you talk about serial killers and these like shows and movies, they really paint it as like, they're just out and about. Which I guess is sort of the point with serial killers until they get caught. And it's like, you don't know. You don't know if you know somebody who's a serial killer. We probably don't. But what are those stats? Because do we?
So, okay. This really blew my mind. In the U.S., there has been 3,204 serial killers, I think, documented. The country with the next most serial killers is England with 166. Isn't that shocking?
What? Okay, but what's the percentage of the population then?
Oh, that's a great question. But I mean, there are other countries with, I feel like, large populations as well.
Certainly feels like a higher percentage than, say, 100 in England. But England's like, you know, pretty small compared to the U.S. I tend to think, generally speaking, the English are just as bad as Americans. Is that something I can say in a recording?
Yeah, I'm British, so I'll allow
it. Yeah, thank you. That's all I need is one person to tell me if my opinions are right. I just think like they're no better. So
yes,
proportionally, maybe it's about the same. Although, you know, when it comes to murder, I'd feel like we're typically way up there.
Yeah,
3,000 is a lot of people, but I guess there are a lot of people who live here, right?
Yeah,
ideally, but you'd want no serial killers.
Yes, that is true. But I mean, like, China has like the largest population. India, there's like, they didn't make the list.
No, it's certainly an American and a British mindset.
And in the U.S., all times, there's between 35 and 50 active serial killers. Isn't that wild?
Certainly there's at least one of those in LA.
There must be.
One of the 50? Come on.
And actually, let me look up the definition of serial killer. Because it's someone who murders three or more people.
Yeah.
With the murders taking place over more than a month.
Oh, right. Not just like one event.
Yeah, shooting situation.
Right, it's like you are methodically killing people in a sequence.
Which is terrifying.
That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad.
And I'm not sure if this is correct. I was trying to find statistics on serial killers in South Korea, since that's where this movie takes place. And as far as I could tell, it seems like there are currently three.
Oh my God. That's almost crazier, because it's like, there's just three. Who are they? Who are the three?
Right.
35 to 50. You're like, well, what am I supposed to do with that? But three, it's like, well, let's find them.
Let's get them.
There's just three. We can certainly handle that.
Yeah.
It reminds me, I read a novel a couple years ago, My Sister, the Serial Killer. It's pretty good. Pretty good, fun little read.
Oh, yeah.
Recommend it. And it is sort of like, oh, I guess you could know somebody who's a serial killer. Anyway.
Yeah. It's a very scary thought. I hope we don't. I hope we don't know any serial killers.
And I hope that, hey guys, let's get that number down to zero. Let's all work together. Let's get that number down. Come on, we can do this. If we all work together, let's get that number down to zero.
Okay, should we watch this trailer? It's a red band and I'm making you watch it.
That just made me think, I was like, what we really need is someone like Dexter. He's a serial killer who kills serial killers. And so that's what we need. Mm-hmm. You need one Dexter. And then you just take the Dexter out. And that's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Guys, come on. Let's work together.
We got this. We can figure this out.
We can figure this out. Okay. Oh, no. Okay. Why are you doing this to me?
Yeah.
this?
It's a lot. For truly the first 20 minutes of the movie, I kept catching myself going, oh my God, just out loud. It was shocking to me, the things that were happening.
It is so funny that this movie is not listed as a horror movie. Are you kidding me?
I know.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I know. It's really, really brutal, but it's really, really, it's quite good.
Well, I'm curious to hear your thoughts of how you're conflicted, because it looks fucking awesome.
I'll tell you right now, because it's part of the trigger warning, and it's that it's a lot of sexual violence.
Damn. Yep.
And
yep. Okay, that's bad.
Man, I hate when they do it that.
It fucking sucks.
I like was bummed when I finished, because I was like, man, I like would love to really love this movie.
Yeah.
But it's like all of the women are in it just to die to like propel the men's storylines forward.
And I I guess, okay, this was 2011, so maybe we have somewhat, except for the fucking sadness, somewhat moved past the idea that, like, well, the only impetus for a male protagonist arc is if the woman he loves gets raped. And it's like, right. Maybe not, actually.
Right.
That, like, we, it's just, it's, aside from how it's very triggering and upsetting and, like, unnecessary, it's just lazy storytelling. I think right. It's really fucking lazy.
Right.
Think of something else.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, everything else, like the fight choreography in this is incredible.
Cool.
Yeah, it looks really, really good. The performances are so good.
God
and
damn.
This the game of cat and mouse is very fun, and I just love, I feel like, a cat and mouse storyline. All the other ingredients are good. It's just like, why can't we figure out another way to get these people in this situation other than just, raping and murdering women?
Yeah, that's really unfortunate. Well, we don't like that. We've addressed it. Trigger warning. Hate it. I'm eager to hear about the rest of the movie and to try to enjoy the rest of the movie, because the other things that I saw looked really fucking cool. I went to take a sip of my coffee at the beginning of that trailer, and I was like, well, you got to put this down, you're spilled all over yourself.
Yeah.
You're going to be too shocked.
There were so many times where I was so shocked in the movie. My jaw was on the floor for so many parts. And I had read on Reddit beforehand, as I was like trying to pick what movie to watch, they were like, the last 15 minutes of this movie are insane. And the whole movie's insane. And so I was just like, what does that mean? Everything is so
God, I can't
crazy.
Fucking wait.
What could it possibly be? And I'll just say, I don't think that the last 15 minutes were like more insane than the rest of the movie. I think it's like start to finish insanity.
Wow. I'm excited. I am excited. And I also, I mean, I know I won't get to see it because you're telling me, but good fight choreography is like one of my very favorite things. At a certain point in my life, I got to a place where I like, you know, I love action movies. And a big part of the good action movies I like is like stellar fight choreography. And it's just so cool.
Yeah.
To watch like good visceral fighting. Like,
yes.
Like I feel like happens in a lot of Asian action and horror movies where it's like, it's fucking physical and real and practical. And it's so cool. It's like dance.
Yeah.
I think it's the same part of my brain that likes watching dancing.
Yeah. And
man,
it's super
cool.
Well directed. And yeah, it's just like you can.
It looks beautiful.
There's like the two kinds of action, right? Because in the sadness, there's action, but it's the kind of action where everything's just hectic and we're cutting so much that you can't like tell
it's
what's
like, it's
happening.
It's like filmmaking action versus
practical
on-screen action. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't love the filmmaking action so much. It makes me dizzy.
It just is. Yeah. Disorienting.
Ooh.
Oh my God. Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
Okay.
To hear the rest of this episode, head on over to our Patreon at patreon.com/TSDW podcast and join us in Tony fucking Collette's inner circle. There you'll get access to all of our previous bonus episodes, which include The Omen, The Green Inferno, and even a Paddington 2 watch-along. Wow, so something for everybody. You'll also get access to our Discord and to weekly trailer reaction videos, and you can vote in what we cover in our bonus episodes. It's a great place to be. You're gonna love it. And if not, we will see you here next week with your regularly scheduled programming. We love you very much. Goodbye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.